You're listening to a Davenport After Dark podcast. Tune in every Thursday night at 10 o'clock on News Talk 106 to 108.
If the Mayans are to be trusted, the world's going to end tomorrow. Because the calendar that the Mayans created in the 5th century BC extends only to December 21st, 2012. A sure sign, according to many, that the end of the world is nigh. Now, some of the most dedicated believers in this prophecy think the only hope for survival is being whisked away to safety in a big giant spaceship that's awaiting its cue under a mountain in France. And I'm joined on the line by Ted Harrison, who's the author of Apocalypse When and the former religious affairs correspondent for the BBC. Ted, now, I hadn't heard of this prophecy until a couple of years ago, but when exactly did it come into popular consciousness?
I think it would have been about 20 years ago that a few people began to realise that the Mayan calendar came to an abrupt end. And this has been a rumour that has perhaps added speed over the last 5 years, but not really until internet and Facebook and Twitter and so on got hold of it, did it really take off. And that would have been within the last year.
Is there any kind of reason besides apocalypse that the Mayan calendar would abruptly end? Because it always strikes me as kind of curious that the Mayans seem to predict the end of the world is happening on the 21st of December 2012, but had no clue that their own civilization would be completely wiped out.
Well, I think probably one have to understand it that they were astronomers who were drawing up a long-term calendar, and the calendar came to an end because that cycle came to an
right,
end.
Yeah.
Another one was going to start, but they never got round to writing the next almanac.
And so when did then the interpretation of, oh my God, there is nothing beyond this calendar, therefore it must mean the end of days and the end of the world?
Oh, that started several years ago with a few people in the sort of New Age movement, just wondering whether it was that the Mayans had some special knowledge about the future. This particular interpretation just gathered speed since then.
It's interesting, and, you know, lest we think that theories about the apocalypse are just the purview of kind of fringe groups. In fact, the Judeo-Christian tradition is... apocalypse is central to all three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Yes, in a slightly different form, but it is, because those three religions share the book of Genesis, you know, in the beginning, and God created, and they extrapolate from that to say, therefore, there must be an end at which point God will bring everything to an end and to a conclusion, and Christians and and Muslims say there's going to be a form of judgment at the end.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's built into religions that have a linear sense of time. Hinduism and Buddhism, that has a secular sense of time, doesn't have this apocalyptic idea quite so strongly.
So the Hindus and Eastern religions, they'd have the cyclical idea, so it's all about regeneration. So there's a possibility that we're living in an infinite number of worlds, and this is just another world in a long line or a never-ending cycle of life.
Yes, that's put it in one way. It is that things come about again and again. Good follows evil, evil follows good, karma, and so on. You know, consequences of bad. So you've got that sense of perpetual life going on in a great circle in some of the Eastern philosophies. And of course, one of the interpretations on the Mayan prophecy is that what the Mayans were saying was that it's the end of an epoch, it's the end of a particular type of human existence, and we're in for a totally different sort from now onwards, and that it may be that from tomorrow onwards there will be peace and light in the world and wars will be no more. It's a good hope, but I'm not very hopeful, but you know, that's one interpretation.
there seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there seems to be within the Judeo-Christian tradition of apocalyptic thinking is that the apocalypse is kind of a winding down of a clock of decay and moral turpitude, that somehow, you know, the world was perfect and then we came along, mussed it up, and then this is just a winding down till the inevitable judgment day, or, you know, as pointed out, say, in the book of Revelations.
Well, the idea that there was a Garden of Eden and we were all perfect is the Genesis, part of the creation story, which accounts for why there is imperfection in the world, why there is human evil and sin and so on. Then part of the Christian understanding is that we build up to the apocalypse, there is going to be a return of Christ, and the early Christians believed it was going to be very, very quickly and soon after the resurrection. But in fact, you know, the time has gone on.
Yeah.
But in fact, you build up to a particular point at which everything is so chaotic and possibly in need of judgment and reform, that is the moment that it'll all happen. You know, that's certainly one interpretation.
Because the Book of Revelations and other writings that outline the apocalypse, they kind of talk about the apocalypse in terms of it'll happen when certain things come true, and they're looking for symbols and things to happen. But then there are lots of other people who, over the course of the centuries or the millennia, have specified dates, which seems to be kind of a slightly kind of short-sighted but fairly kind of courageous thing to predict.
Well, the gospel accounts of the end, of the warning that there will be a judgment and a second return, signs are certainly talked about. You know, there will be earthquakes, there will be wars, there will be false prophets, and so on. The Book of Revelation has a slightly different picture, much more poetic language
yeah.
about what will happen. One of the interesting things about the tradition of looking for the signs is that there is now, in America, a thing called the Rapture Index. Now, one of the interpretations is that right at the end, those who are saved will be raptured, who will just be whisked up to heaven before the punishment and tribulation on the earth. And there is a Rapture Index, which actually follows all the things in the world to do with earthquakes and to do with false messiahs and to do with different signs that were invoked, and then says, well, at the moment, this is an index that we can follow. And they said about 20 years ago that if we ever got to 160 on the index, a sort of Dow Jones index of end time, then that's time to fasten your seatbelts. And Monday this week, it went up to the all-time high of 187.
Oh, my God. Because there's a certain number of Americans who believe that Hurricane Sandy is one of these warning signs of impending rapture.
Yes, and there have been interpretations all through history that when there have been major earthquakes or major disasters or something of that sort, that these are the signs. So we know that the weather triggers off some of these panics because people do interpret them as signs of the end.
Now, for those, you know, people who foresaw a specific or time-specific end of days, when that time came and passed, say, over the last couple of thousand years, like, what happened to them? I mean, you know, the kind of the power of their prophecy seems to kind of disappear in a cloud of smoke, you know?
Well, several things happen. One is that there are those particularly religious end-time rumours where a group of people feel that they've got inside knowledge.
Yeah.
The May the 21st last year, it was believed that inside knowledge had been gathered from a study of the numbers of the Bible, and therefore we could actually find the day. And often, if you've got the inside knowledge, you imply from that therefore you're going to be one of the saved. Now, this could be within the Christian tradition that
yeah.
you will be saved for eternity, or it could be if you're in one of the sort of alien cult religions, if you can call them that, that you'll be saved by a spaceship turning up or something like that. There's one of those that's due to arrive in France tomorrow. So, yeah, you know, it's fascinating to see what then happens, because when the end doesn't come, you have to face up to the fact that not only were you wrong in your prophecy, but also maybe you're not genuinely saved either. Conversely and counterintuitively, what does tend to happen is that the people who were the followers of a particular prophet stay together as a group. They form close friendships and reliance on each other. And that group then grows. It changes its tune, it changes its dates, it changes its prophecies slightly,
yeah.
But actually grows. And the 1843 failed prophecy of the Millerites in America, for instance, that group stayed together and grew, and we now know them as the Seventh-day Adventists, at an offshoot became the Jehovah's Witnesses.
I was going to say, because the Jehovah's Witnesses, they for a long time said that 1975 was going to be the day of reckoning, but obviously that came and went, and like, as far as I know, they've become fairly cagey about making time-specific predictions.
Well, funnily enough, the Jehovah's Witnesses are the only people who've almost got it right, because they
How?
Actually forecast the Battle of Armageddon in 1914. And when the First World War started, they said, you know, it's happening.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So, and that's it. I mean, you know, if you make your prophecy specific but general enough, it's easy to find events happening in the world that warrant belief and go, see, I told you, that's, look, that happened, therefore it must mean this.
Well, the American evangelist who got May the 21st wrong last year actually said afterwards, actually, he said, I got it right. It all happened. The end of the world happened on a spiritual level. Ugh. The destruction will
this
happen.
This is your man Harold
later.
Camping, wasn't it?
Harold Camping. So yeah. He dodged out of it that way, but then his prediction was that 4 months later the physical destruction would come, and of course it didn't.
It didn't.
He himself suffered a stroke and his organisation rather crumbled. But the idea that afterwards you change the detail, first of all, if you've got the date wrong, or you reinterpret what it is that it meant.
Yeah.
So you always try and find a get-out clause until that moment comes when you can do it no longer.
Ted, you know, leaving aside whether these claims are true or not, and, you know, the ones obviously that came and went obviously aren't, but what do you think is the reason why we, as because, you know, it's as old as man itself, almost, these predictions. So what is it that we need from having this kind of, you know, almost like these doomsday predictions hanging over us? What function does it serve, do you think?
Well, I think it serves two functions. One is, it's a little bit like, why do we go and watch horror movies and scare ourselves? There's something about, if you like, the entertainment value or the cathartic value of being able to go through our horrors in safety and come through the other end. But also I think it's to do with the fact that we are all aware that we are mortal, and we're all going to at some stage face our own end. We don't know what it's going to be, but there are anxieties and fears and hopes about that. And death comes to most of us alone. You know, we might be surrounded by friends and family, but actually it's a lone journey. And if you're talking about the end time, the end of the world, everything going at the same time, it's a way of being able to share some of the anxieties and hopes and fears with everybody else. It turns a lone journey into a community activity.
And what about the impetus in terms of our own moral behaviour while we are on this earth? So if, say, for instance, we're to accept as truth that Armageddon will happen and the apocalypse will ensue, what impetus do I have to live a good and moral life?
Well, it depends what you think is going to happen afterwards. If you think it's going to be an entirely secular end, you know, we're going to be zapped by some cosmic detritus that's going to knock the Earth out and everybody's going to die and that's it, oblivion, then the idea that you've got to be a good living person doesn't necessarily apply. You have to just look at it from your point of view of your own conscience. But if you actually believe that at the end, there's going to be some form of judgment, and this is certainly what is said by a lot of religions, then you've got a very strong motive for making sure that either before the end or your own demise, if it's not the communal demise, you have faced up to the things that you've done
life. And so come the day of judgment, I'm going to be on the right side. If I've lived a good and moral life, when the judgment is made, I'll be the chosen ones as opposed to the ones cast into eternal damnation.
Well, there are theological questions about whether or not you can entirely do that off your own bat. There is this idea of grace that Christians teach. But at the same time, I think you're probably more likely to be able to face judgment if you've lived a better life than if you haven't.
And finally, Ted, I suppose to any listeners out there who think, oh my God, I've bought presents completely for no reason at all, we can reassure them that come what may, Christmas is going to happen this year. The Mayans really just didn't get it right.
I've no hesitation in wishing you a very happy Christmas, and I'm sure that you'll see it.
And right back at you. Ted Harrison, author of Apocalypse When, journalist and former BBC religious affairs correspondent. Thank you very much for talking to us this evening.
Thanks a lot.
That was a Davenport After Dark podcast, live every Thursday night at 10 p.m. on News Talk 106 to 108 FM.